Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass. Tom, I was thinking about that song by Lou Christie. Yeah, lightning strikes again. You know, what brought it to mind is Mr. Christie was a big fan of his in the 60s, and he passed away yesterday. Lou Christie, native son of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and just a real talent. And I was thinking about that when I heard the news that he had passed away, and I was thinking, oh my goodness, I hope we can say that lightning strikes again here in Southern Arizona. We're starting to get some indications maybe that the monsoon is maybe around the corner. Let's hope it brings some rain. We're in the Bustos Media Center here in central Tucson, the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Five radio stations under one roof. This one, 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for live trusted news and talk. When we do our telephone interviews, the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. The chairman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, Rex Scott, Democrat, representing the district I live in, district number one. He's too young, I think, to remember much about 60s music, right, Supervisor, or no?
That would be correct. I was born...
When were you born?
I was born in 1963.
Oh, okay. Well, that was when Lou Christie and was coming up with some of the big hits, so you will pardon you for not recognizing his big hit, Lightning Strikes. Well, first of all, it's great to see you. This comes at a very serendipitous time because so much talk in the community about what's called Project Blue. Thanks for coming in, Supervisor.
Happy to be here, Bill, and really always appreciate these monthly opportunities to talk with you and Tom and your listeners. And before we get into discussion of Project Blue and everything else that's on your list, congratulations on your engagement. Very, very happy for you, and to have found love a second time in your life after having such an extraordinary marriage with Anne for
51
so
years.
Many years.
Yeah, 51.
Just couldn't be happier for you and your fiance.
Well, we are very blessed, I'll tell you, and thank you very much for that, Supervisor. So let's talk about the 3-2 vote for this massive data center complex known as Project Blue. What would you like our listeners to know about this?
What I would like everybody in Pima County to know is that the board really took a big step when it approved this project, not only in terms of the many benefits that it will bring to us in terms of jobs, tax revenue, and the infrastructure, the extraordinary infrastructure that is going to be built by the developer in partnership with Tucson Water. But one of the things that I said on Tuesday is that there is every possibility when you approve a project like this one that there will be a ripple effect in terms of future economic development projects that are inspired by this one, connected with this one. So I really think that we're taking a big step on behalf of our local economy by approving this. But when I was first briefed on the project as the chair of the board, And the project was first being discussed when Supervisor Grijalva was chair of the board. So she was initially briefed. When I came into the position and was briefed, my first questions were about water and power, because when you hear about data centers in other parts of the, not just the United States, but the world, mm-hmm. The amount of water that they use, the amount of power that they require is significant. Mm-hmm. And I think everything that has been undertaken, not just by the county, but by Beale Infrastructure, our private sector partner on this project, working in collaboration with Tucson Water and Tucson Electric Power. I think we have addressed those issues and really feel like this project could be emblematic of the kind of balance that you need to have between economic growth and environmental protection. And Pima County, because of our longstanding commitment to environmental protection through the Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan and the Associated Conservation Land Systems Plan, we always make environmental protection and safeguarding of all of our resources, especially water, a high priority. And I'd encourage everybody to look at some of the documents attached to this item on our agenda so they can see everything that is going to be done to strike that balance.
Reclaimed water would eventually be used after right. after this pipeline of, what, 14 miles or something like that?
18 miles.
18 miles.
Yes, sir.
So that's not going to happen overnight. So until the how long would regular water or whatever, you know, CAP water or drinking water be used?
What we heard on Tuesday is that the goal of getting to 100% reclaimed water, they would like to achieve that within 2 years. And the other thing that we have heard and seen through the materials attached to the item is that any potable water that is going to be used is going to be replenished through a partnership between the developer and Tucson Water with regard to replenishment projects that they have going on through the region. Might even be able to be of assistance with some of the PFAS removal that is a high priority for the utility right now.
Okay, now we know these projects, as you indicated, not only use a lot of water, they need a lot of power. And that's
right.
where Tucson Electric Power would come in. And it was a bad look because while you were meeting, the news came out, a news release that the TEP would ask for a rate increase, a 14% rate increase. And so the public sees that or hears that news, and the thinking is, oh, well, supervisors have approved this project, so I guess the ratepayers are going to pay immediately for this.
A
bad look.
The timing couldn't have been worse.
Right.
And the county received a letter yesterday from TEP that has been shared with the board, and so it's a public document where there was the distinction made between this residential rate increase proposal that has been in development for months, but the announcement of it was made, as you said, on Tuesday. But there is absolutely no connection between that residential rate increase that is based on past use of power and Project Blue, which is, of course, going to be making use of power in the future.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, I have that letter in front of me. This is signed by Susan Gray. She's the president and CEO of Tucson Electric Power. There was, after this news came out, the board was not told of that proposed rate increase while discussing Project Blue, and the TEP had assured the rate payers that they would not be affected by the data electricity use and the increased demand that it put on the TEP system. One of your colleagues, Democrat Dr. Matt Hines, Pima County Supervisor, has now called for the board to reconsider its approval as a result of TEP's move, and Supervisor Hines acknowledges that the optics for this were bad. What can you say in regard to a second look, perhaps, at this?
So as you said, there was a 3-2 vote mm-hmm. For not just the rezoning, but also the sales purchase agreement, because the county is going to get $20.8 million for the sale of this property. Those two items were approved by a 3-2 vote. Supervisors Christie, Hines, and myself voted in favor. Supervisors Allen and Cano were opposed. And as the chair of the board, I sit on the agenda review committee with the county administrator, the clerk of the board, and the chief civil deputy from the Pima County Attorney's Office, who also serves as our parliamentarian.
In other words, what will go on the agenda for
Correct.
You and your colleagues?
Correct. Okay. The four of us meet after the agenda deadline to talk about what's going to be on the agenda. And we have a meeting this afternoon, and one of the items that we'll be discussing will be that request for reconsideration by Supervisor Hines.
All right. From a District 1 point of view, you have indicated in the media that your constituents are very concerned about this. Was brought to the front burner. Your constituents really want to know about this project.
So,
and have concerns. You admitted that they do.
Absolutely. Yeah. And when people contact our office to express their opinion on any item before the board, they may not be limited to people who live in District 1. When we're voting on something that comes before the board, there could well be people who live outside of District 1 who want to express their opinion. But it is absolutely the case that the majority of people who have contacted our office about this project have encouraged us to oppose it. And they have made some very thoughtful arguments and expressed some very well-thought-out concerns about data centers based on what they have seen and heard about them in other parts of the country, other parts of the world. And again, those concerns are almost always related to water and power. But my judgment of everything that I've heard, everything that I've been briefed on about Project Blue, is that the water and power concerns for this data center are being addressed in a way that is strikingly unique, especially in terms of the enhanced infrastructure that is going to come into this region, that is going to be paid for by the developer, working in partnership with both Tucson Water and Tucson Electric Power. And then if you look at the economic benefits in terms of increased jobs, increases to the tax base, not just for the county, but for the city and the school districts, and the possibility of this leading to future economic development, not just in terms of other associated industries that may be interested in our region, but because of the infrastructure enhancements that are going to be happening at the Southeast Employment and Logistics Center. This is the county-owned property, a part of it that we're going to be selling to this developer. Because of the infrastructure enhancements that they're doing out there, it's going to make that entire Southeast Employment and Logistics Center a much more viable, much more marketable entity for development.
What if they had said, we're not going to do anything?
I don't think we'd be having this discussion, to be honest with you.
Was that difficult when you, as an elected representative, when you see this, when folks are saying, don't go that way, and you go a different direction?
Yes, it is, of course. But, you know, we don't conduct plebiscites on every issue that comes before us. If you're elected to be in a policy-making, decision-making role, your responsibility is to take all of the evidence, all of the factors into account, and make an informed judgment. And what I always say, Bill, is if I can explain the basis for one of my decisions to the person who's looking back at me in the mirror, then I ought to be able to explain it to you or anybody else.
All right, let's pause right here. It's Buckmaster. On a Thursday, the hottest day of the year coming up here, 114 maybe, we shall see, but then slight cooling as we go into the weekend. More with Pima County Supervisor's Chair Rex Scott. Boy, I've got a whole stack of stuff. We're going to move on from Project Blue after we take a break.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com. The Regional Transportation Authority invests over $100 million annually in transportation improvements in the greater Tucson region based on public input. The RTA and its regional partners deliver roadway, transit, safety, pedestrian, bicycle, environmental, and other needed improvements to meet the demands of transportation network users over a 20-year period. Learn more about the economic and quality of life benefits of the RTA's 2006 voter-approved plan and flexible funding at rtamobility.com.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Vero Amore, where every certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore is located in the lovely Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell. Also, check out the full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. What a busy week we are having here on the program. We've got Pima County Supervisor Chair Rex Scott, Democrat, representing District 1, where I am one of Supervisor Scott's constituents. So we're moving on, Supervisor, from Project Blue, because I've got some other very important items to discuss, including what we talked about a little bit with Ted Maxwell, with General Maxwell, about the change in leadership on the Regional Transportation Authority Board. A very familiar face is going to be in an interim capacity, at least for 9 months, and that's former Tucson City Manager Mike Ortega. Are you as enthusiastic about this as General Maxwell shared with us yesterday?
I am not surprised that there was a unanimous vote to appoint Mr. Ortega to serve in that role. He is a person who I think exemplifies community service and is also a person of great intellectual energy and extraordinary experience in government, not just in Pima County, but in his home county of Cochise as well. I think it was a very sound decision by the RTA board to make that pick, and I'm just as enthusiastic as this people who voted for his appointment are.
Can he move the ball forward in getting this eventually to the voters next March?
Do you so, believe? What we heard from the people who sought to remove and successfully removed the previous executive director was that he was an impediment in terms of bringing the region together. Now that that impediment has been removed, they need to make optimal use of the time remaining to get a plan to the Board of Supervisors so that it can be on the ballot in the spring of 2026. My understanding is they've got until early September to get something to us to meet those statutory deadlines.
Because the board has to sign off, right, before this can go to the voters.
Well, if...
If
it is sent to us by the RTA board to set an election, then our actions are really ministerial.
Okay.
It's similar to when there's an incorporation election. We're just being asked to set the election. We're not being asked to pass judgment on the RTA next plan.
Okay.
So
I'm glad you clarified that. So you would not have, the board would not discuss the merits of the item that would be going before
No, we're just being asked to set the election date, and under Arizona state law, there is a statutory deadline by which the RTA board needs to get an RTA next plan to us to set an election. And again, my understanding is that that's early September.
Okay.
All right. So if you've removed what you considered to be your main impediment,
right,
then it's time to get to work. If you need to schedule some additional meetings between now and September, do it. If you need to have some tough conversations about issues that still divide the jurisdictions that are involved in the RTA board, have those conversations. But we cannot get to the end of this time frame and not have a plan ready to move forward. That is just not a situation that we can find ourselves in terms of what it means for both our infrastructure and our economic development prospects. So my strong message to both my colleague and the other eight members of the RTA board is make optimal use of this time. Resolve your disagreements. Come together on a plan and get it to us in time to get it on the ballot for the spring of 2026. None of us want to see what's going to happen if RTA funding goes away.
So one of the roadblocks, and you're very well aware of this because you served for years, several years, I believe. On the board. You were the Pima County representative on the board, the RTA board. So the Mike Ortega is very familiar with the remaining projects that still have not been completed. And that seems to be, as General Maxwell pointed out yesterday, a huge benefit in moving this thing forward.
He's very familiar with all of those projects, what's already been done on each one of those projects. And I noted that General Maxwell told you yesterday that Mr. Ellis with the RTA had pointed out in response to a question from Supervisor Hines that there's already been work begun on all of those projects.
Right.
So what the RTA board needs to get is sound figures on the cost to complete all of those projects. And then they need to determine how to make sure that that cost to complete is achieved. What really frustrated the previous RTA board that I served on, and it wasn't just my frustration, it was the frustration of all nine of us, was that we never got a complete understanding of what the cost to complete was. And that it absolutely has to be resolved, because it's going to be difficult to go to the public with an RTA next plan if the question of how to complete all of the projects in RTA 1 is still on the table.
And we are going to keep you over, if it's okay, to
sure.
segment number three to talk about the budget. We haven't even talked about the spending plan
Absolutely.
That was approved. It's interesting at that 14% for folks that were listening to our conversation, the 14% rate increase the TEP was asking for also came at the same time. There was a 14% increase, I believe, by Tucson Water for those of us living in the unincorporated areas.
I went to the public hearing that Marin Council had with regard to that proposal because although other municipalities around the state, including Phoenix, charge higher rates for people who live outside their boundaries, mm-hmm. it is unprecedented for a third of your ratepayers mm-hmm. to be charged higher rates. And a third of Tucson Water's customers live in the unincorporated county.
Including myself.
And myself as well.
Yeah.
My beef with the proposal is that it was not based on a comprehensive cost of service study of the entire Tucson Water system. It was instead based on a study that was done just of the cost to serve water and service infrastructure for people who live in the unincorporated county. So it was a very narrow gauge, and I feel that that was because there was always the goal in mind of raising rates on the third of Tucson Water's customers who live in the unincorporated area, and I stand by that belief.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. More with Pima County Supervisors Chair Rex Scott after our break.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Very busy Thursday afternoon on our program. The program, of course, is in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. And I've been saying all week, I know it's hot, but some plants like the hot weather. And they know exactly where to not only point you, but take you over at Green Things to those particular plants. So you can get them in your garden before the rains come. I know that's what I've done. And we'll see what happens. Green Things, located at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's a beautiful site. They've got 13 acres now there. And on site is their part of the business called Zocalo Village, with a huge selection of pottery, the largest selection of pottery in Arizona. They have fountains, outdoor furniture, of course, a wide variety, incredible variety of cacti, plants, and everything you could imagine over at Green Things. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. Green Things is in District 1, isn't it, Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott?
It absolutely is.
And it's a very popular attraction.
Definitely.
Supervisor Scott is the chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. And before we continue with our discussion with him, we've kept him over for segment 3 because there is so much going on. We talked in segment 1 about Project Blue. We talked about the RTA in segment number 2. Now we're going to talk about the new spending plan for Pima County, and we're going to do that right after I mention that our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Like most government entities, they operate on a fiscal year. That means that the budget, the 12-month spending plan, kicks in on July the 1st. Supervisor Scott, what should we know as taxpayers about this plan?
So I think one of the most important things for your listeners to know is that we're always mindful of the fact that we are only one entity in this region that charges property taxes. Besides the county, there are also the school districts, the fire districts, Pima Community College, the Central Arizona Water Conservation District. We also know that the value of our local tax base has increased, I believe, in 9 of the last 10 years. And your property tax is based on not only the rates set by each tax charging entity, but also the valuation of your property. Mm-hmm. And so we're always mindful of the need to only charge as much as we absolutely need to keep the services and supports that the 1.1 million people who live in Pima County depend upon from us. And if you look at the increase, a very small increase in the property tax, the overall property tax rate this year, the most significant portion of it is because of a board policy that was enacted in 2022 that says that state cost shifts need to be reflected in the property tax rate. And we are dealing with right around $112 million in costs shifted to Pima County from the state of Arizona.
But those are their obligations, the state of Arizona.
Absolutely.
But they have a right to shift them.
They have been doing that, Bill, for decades. The state of Arizona has a balanced budget amendment as part of the Arizona Constitution. They also have, as part of the Arizona Constitution since 1992, a requirement that any revenue measure, and that means not just a tax increase, but rolling back any existing tax credits or tax cuts requires a 2/3 vote of both houses of the legislature. That is unachievable. And so to balance their budget without looking at revenues, they have for many years, not just under this legislature and this governor, but previous legislatures and previous governors, shifted costs not just to Pima County, but the other 14 counties. And we have a board policy that says that those cost shifts need to be reflected in our property tax rate. And that is the majority of the increase for this year. My colleagues and I on Tuesday cut the recommended tax rate by enough that it's going to result in $4.1 million being cut from the recommended budget. We did that because the county administrator told us in a memorandum that she and her team were capable of making those cuts, and we voted to cut the tax rate and directed her to make those cuts because we never want the tax rate to be set any higher than it has to be.
Well, why is that fair? Of course, my answer my own question, to balance a state budget on the backs of each of the county entities.
Well, in Arizona, counties are subdivisions of the state. So state cost shifts have been something that legislatures and governors have deployed for a long time because of those restrictions on their ability to look at revenues.
Will critical needs be funded, i.e. roads?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We're devoting $26 million to road repair and maintenance this year. We're going into the seventh year, I believe, of our road repair and maintenance program, and we have always ensured that it has the resources that it needs.
What other highlights?
Well, I would point out that we are continuing our commitment to affordable housing and to early childhood education, following up on the classification and compensation study that we did during our first term. The first one, by the way, that had been done in the county since 1957. We are continuing to our efforts to make Pima County an employer of choice. We are also making sure that every and we're doing that, by the way, by having a salary increase for our employees, 3.6% in the early part of the year, and then 1.4% later. And then we're also, most importantly, making sure that every county department has the staff and the resources that it needs to provide all the services and supports that Pima County residents depend upon. There are, as I said, right around 1.1 million people who live in Pima County. We have right around 7,000 employees. And in terms of all of the services and supports that the various departments deliver to by those 7,000 employees, we're making sure that every department has the resources and staffing that it needs to do their job.
There was very little money coming from the federal government, I guess, as that's reflected in this budget.
And that is something where we are still trying to figure out what the final result is going to be, because as we know, the both the federal and the state governments are still discussing their own budgets.
The checks aren't in the mail.
No, they are not.
And as you know, of yet, anyway.
And with regard to the Arizona state budget, there is no basis for a continuing resolution to carry on if they do not achieve a budget by June 30th. Hmm. The state government would have to shut down.
Yes. And hopefully we'll get more on that. Our scheduled Friday Focus interview is with Nancy Gutierrez, who holds a leadership position. She is the assistant minority leader in the Arizona House of Representatives. We'll see what's going on. I know they were trying to get a Senate budget approved yesterday, and it didn't happen. So we are up against the deadline, aren't we?
We absolutely are. And by the way, I am proud to be one of Representative Gutierrez's constituents. I think she does an outstanding job. What I understand is that her Republican colleagues in the House are going it alone so far with regard to the budget, whereas the Senate, both parties,
have been involved.
The governor and the Democrats in the House have been working together. It's bringing the House Republicans out of outlier status that is the challenge
and
for everybody else.
And that's been something that's gone on for the past couple of years, maybe more than a couple of years.
Well, I think
going
there
back to the Governor Ducey.
There has been occasionally disagreement between the Republicans in one House and the Republicans in the other. So, yes, I think that's been something that they have tried to sort out within their majority caucus.
Any final remarks for our listeners?
Just that if you live in District 1, we are always at the ready to help you with any problem, concern, or complaint that you might have. You can reach our office at 724-2738, or you can email us at district1@pima.gov.
And you try to respond to any...
Within 24 hours, we get a response to people, and we recognize that we are the voice of and the advocate for over 200,000 people who live in District 1, and it takes up most of northern and northwestern Pima County, and we recognize that we are their voice and their advocate in Pima County, and we're always trying to follow up on any problem, concern, or complaint that's brought to us.
Hope the transportation team is ready for monsoon 2025.
They have a plan in place that is that they are able to adjust on the fly. I am always impressed by how quickly our staff in the transportation department responds to the road damage that inevitably occurs during any monsoon season. They are, I think, one of the most responsive and professional departments within the county. And that's saying a lot because, frankly, I've yet to meet a county employee that doesn't meet the standards for dedication, professionalism, and constituent service. But the transportation department is truly outstanding.
All right. They'll be on alert, I'm sure, and
absolutely
swinging into action as early as next week. Rex Scott, thank you very much, and all the best to you.
Same to you, Bill.
All right, coming up next, Amy Hartman-Gordon going to give us an update on the continuing so many activities associated with the anniversary of Tucson. It's the celebration is 250-plus, and that I'm glad they added the plus because this area is a lot older than 250 years of folks living here, maybe for 12,000 years. Anyway, we'll be right back.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Located in the heart of Arizona wine country, about an hour south of Metro Tucson, Flying Leap Estate Vineyards Winery and Distillery Facilities are one of the most beautiful wine venues in the southwestern United States. Come relax and unwind at our spacious property and learn about Arizona grape viticulture and winemaking from our team of trained sommeliers and discover the intricacies of the art of distillation. Learn more at flyingleapvineyards.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax through June 2026. The funding has led to a $1.6 billion investment in regional transportation improvements over the past two decades to improve your quality of life. The RTA is working on a final draft of a new regional transportation plan for future voter consideration. The $2.46 billion draft plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, environmental, and other needed improvements. Learn more at rtanext.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun, covering your hometown.
This is your captain speaking. Thank you for flying with Tucson International Airport, where you can avoid the hassles, long lines, and the expensive parking of the Phoenix Airport. Skip the traffic, breeze through security, and park with ease, all while supporting your community. Every flight from TUS brings more destinations and better connections right here to Tucson. So next time you're planning a getaway, remember, fly easy, fly local, fly TUS. This is your captain signing off. We're cleared for takeoff.
Welcome back. It's the Buckmaster Show. We're always talking about Silver City being at least 10 degrees cooler than Tucson. Today it's shaping up, my goodness, if their high is 92 and we could be going up to 114. Do the math. That's a lot more than 10 degrees. Right now, it's a very comfortable 90 degrees in Silver City. The elevation there officially is 5,500 feet, same as Denver, Mile High kind of city. However, there are parts of town that go up to 7,000 feet. So it's going to be cooler. And look at the nighttime low today, tonight, 67. That's very pleasant. Certainly worth the trip, 3-hour drive over to Silver City to cool off. Start your planning by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. On our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, Amy Hartman Gordon joins us, Executive Director of the Tucson Presidio Trust. A couple of their museums in their portfolio, the Presidio Museum downtown and the Fort Lowell Museum. Amy, how are you?
Hello, Bill. Nice to hear your voice. I'm well.
Well, let's talk a little bit about how things are going as we get ready to celebrate 250-plus years of folks enjoying our area. Of course, the big anniversary is August 23rd. But what do we have leading? First of all, a little bit about 250-plus. I think it was wise to put that plus in there, right?
Yeah, I think that's been something that's been percolating in our community for a while. And we started adding the plus several years ago, but it's particularly important this year.
So tell me a little bit about how you have framed this celebration, Amy.
Yeah. So the background, for those who don't know, is that I am the director of the Presidio Museum, and the Presidio San Agustin del Tucson was the original Spanish fort that was built by the Spanish explorers. The day it was established happens to be August 20th, 1775. So do the math. That mm-hmm. means that this year is the 250th anniversary of the establishment of that fort. Mm. And our city, in our city charter, that is the actual day that is considered to be the beginning of, why I always say, modern day Tucson. So that day definitely has significance, but we also know, obviously, that it's kind of a continuum, it's a timeline, and people have been living in this area for thousands of years, and so we didn't want to just be focusing on that specific date. We really wanted to be focusing on the whole story of Tucson and the, you know, the cultural exchange that has happened in our community for centuries. So that's kind of how we're approaching this event. It's really exciting. The city itself and the county are on board as municipal sponsors. And the event itself is actually presented by the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission. And then we, the Presidio Museum, we are the hosts along with the Tucson Museum of Art. So that's the event happening on August 23rd. And the reason it's the 23rd is just because that's a Saturday. even though the actual anniversary is the 20th. But there's some fun things happening leading up to that event as well. There's several things happening in the summer to just recognize that history.
You want to hit on a few of those highlights real quickly, Amy?
Yeah, please. I would say the most important thing actually is we have a community website, and this is really important. We wanted this to be a community celebration and not just be about the Presidio or just about, you know, one day or one story. So the website is celebratetucson.com.
Okay.
And that has been put together by several cultural organizations in the community. And on that website are listed all kinds of very fun activities happening, including lectures that are being put on by the Arizona Historical Society. There's going to be an interfaith mass on August 20th that is going to be presented at the San Agustin Cathedral, but it will be interfaith with many different aspects of various religions in the event. And then our museum is presenting several lectures as well. Our next one is June 28th, and it's about George Hand, who is a really important, fun figure in Tucson history. He wrote a diary, and his diary tells all these crazy stories about people and the lives that people led, and about saloons, and about just the aspects of everyday life in the 1870s. So that lecture is going to be put on by Mauro Trejo, who's one of our board members and a great local historian. We also have another lecture by the very important professor, Dr. Tom Sheridan. Many people will know his name, and he's written some really important books about Tucson, including a famous book called Los Tucsonenses. And he will be speaking at the Presidio Museum on July 12th. And so, that's just a few. There's more things happening.
And most of these are, I'm looking, I have the list here. You've got start times usually about 7 o'clock at the museum on these Saturdays?
That's correct, yeah. So our lectures are going to be on Saturdays. We tried to set it up so people could come downtown, maybe have dinner, support your local downtown restaurants. We're just leaning into Arizona weather here, and we have misters in our patio, but these are evening outdoor lectures.
And there's a food tasting. This one kind of caught my eye. Desert food tasting. That sounds fun.
Yeah, and Jack Dash is putting that on. He's a terrific local ethnobotanist, but you know, just a great personality and really good at sharing information about local foods. So he will be providing various foods that he makes using local ingredients, and he will be teaching a little bit about how to cook and how to enjoy our Sonoran gastronomy. And that is on July 26th. That will be actually indoors in our cafe from 4 to 6.
Okay, and for folks,
all of you,
go ahead. Yeah. About location, about where you're located, please, Amy.
Yeah, thank you. So our events can all be accessed from either that website I mentioned, which is Celebrate Tucson, or our own website, which is TucsonPresidio.com. And these are all events that you can pre-register for. And they're all leading up to what's going to be a really fun, August. So as we mentioned, the actual 250th celebration, which is a very diverse, multicultural event, is going to be really fun. And actually, Chairman Scott, who was your last guest, will be there with some opening remarks along with the mayor. We think we may be getting some other additional VIPs from Phoenix. We'll see who those might be. Mm-hmm. But then the weekend before that, we also have a really fun night. I'm so excited about this. It's Tucson Trivia Night with Dave Fitzsimmons. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you know Dave Fitzsimmons, you know that will be a blast, no matter how the evening goes. So he will basically be hosting a game show, and he will have his friend and judge, David Devine, who is a local author and historian.
Okay.
And so the two of them will be presenting a fantastic, fun trivia night.
All right. We're going to have to wrap it up, Amy. And the celebration, the big one, August 23rd, where will that be?
Right. Yep. That's at the Presidio Museum. It'll actually be in the neighborhood. The streets will be closed. So it'll be a big block party.
All right.
So
well,
come on down.
We'll have a lot more on that as we get closer. But thank you very much, Amy Hartman Gordon, and again, the website celebratetucson.com, and then again, your website, Amy?
Is TucsonPresidio.com.
Thank you very much, Amy.
Thanks, Bill. All right. Great.
All right. On behalf of Amy and Tom on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster wishing you well.